Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Starting today, the U.S. is boosting tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25%. The European Union is boosting its own tariffs on things like home appliances, motorcycles, bourbon, peanut butter, and jeans, besides steel and aluminum. The EU's Ursula von der Leyen says this is a tax.
We firmly believe that in a world fraught with geoeconomic and political uncertainties, it is not in our common interest to burden our economies with such tariffs.
President Trump pulled back on threatening to double steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada. Ontario's Doug Ford wanted to boost an electric surcharge in return.
He's not going to do that. And it would have been a very bad thing if he did.
Britain, which isn't part of the EU, says it won't impose retaliatory tariffs of its own. Police in Chicago say a man was shot outside a terminal at O'Hare International Airport this morning following an altercation among multiple people. He's in the hospital in stable condition. Police say another person is being interviewed. The center-right Democratic Party is the upset winner in Greenland's parliamentary elections. Democratit, or the Democrats, and the second-place finisher Nalarek, or Point of Orientation, are in favor of Greenland's independence from Denmark. But Democratit favors a slower pace. Added to the mix is President Trump's push for Greenland to join the U.S. Kuno Fenker with the Nalarek Party says President Trump respects Greenland's right to self-determination.
He wants to invest in Greenland. He's absolutely welcome to do that.
Democratit Party leader Jens Frederik Nielsen says Greenland needs to stand together in a time of great interest from outside. U.S. arms deliveries to Ukraine resumed today, a day after the Trump administration lifted its suspension of military aid for Kyiv in its war against Russia. This is AP News. There is a hostage standoff in Pakistan.
Security forces were being cautious on the second day of the standoff. As officials say, the hostages were surrounded by militants wearing vests loaded with explosives. Over 20 militants have been killed, and security forces have rescued more than 150 of the 450 people who were on the train when it was hijacked on Tuesday as it entered a tunnel in restive Balochistan province. Freed passenger Noor Mohammed describes the ordeal. First, the militants hit the engine with an RPG. After that, gunfire started and explosions were heard. God saved us. They made us get down from the train or they would shoot. We got down and then they said leave. The Baloch Liberation Army Group has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying it's open to negotiations to swap prisoners. So far, there's been no response from the government to the offer from the insurgents. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Sources tell AP the Justice Department's public integrity section, which handles corruption cases, is going to be significantly reduced in size, perhaps to as few as five lawyers. Prosecutors have been told they will be asked to take new assignments and cases will be transferred to U.S. attorneys' offices around the country. The decision comes weeks after the Public Integrity Unit's leadership resigned when Deputy Attorney General Emile Bove ordered corruption charges be dropped against New York Mayor Eric Adams. A DOJ spokesperson says department leadership is taking a broad look at the agency's resources, but have made no final decisions about the future of the Public Integrity Section. It was created in 1976 following the Watergate scandal. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The Education Department plans to lay off over 1,300 of its more than 4,000 employees as part of a reorganization that's seen as a prelude to President Donald Trump's plan to shut down the agency. The layoffs are part of a dramatic downsizing directed by Trump as he moves to reduce the footprint of the federal government. After she was confirmed by the Senate last week, Education Secretary Linda McMahon told employees to brace for profound cuts. The department has now sent an email to employees telling them that the Washington headquarters and regional offices will be closed Wednesday with access forbidden before reopening on Thursday. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Trump administration is firing more federal employees. This time at the nation's Weather, Ocean, and Fisheries Agency. More than 1,000 workers will be affected. While most people know about the agency and its daily weather forecasts, NOAA also monitors and warns about hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and tsunamis. It also manages the country's fisheries, runs marine sanctuaries, and provides navigation information to ships. After this upcoming round of cuts, NOAA will have eliminated about 1 out of 4 jobs since President Donald Trump took office in January. Haya Panjwani, Washington.
President Donald Trump has just bought a new red Tesla. That's the car company owned by Doge's Elon Musk.
I'm going to buy because, number one, it's a great product, as good as it gets. And number two, because this man has devoted his energy and his life to doing this, and I think he's been treated very unfairly.
Tesla has been experiencing slumping sales and plunging stock prices, a blowback because of his work in downsizing the federal government. The Tesla Model S that Trump is buying retails for around $80,000, but Trump won't be sitting behind the wheel.
I'm not allowed to drive because I haven't driven a car in a long time, and I love to drive cars. But I'm going to have it at the White House, and I'm going to let my staff use it.
National Transportation Safety Board Chairwoman Jennifer Homendy says many helicopters and planes are flying way too close in the area where a Black Hawk helicopter collided with a passenger jet in January, killing 67 people. Homendy says choppers and planes can get as close as 75 feet from each other while trying to land at Reagan National Airport in Washington.
We're therefore recommending today that the FAA permanently prohibit operations on helicopter Route 4 between Haynes Point and the Wilson Bridge when runways 15 and 33 are being used for departures and arrivals at DCA.
Homendy says from the end of October 2021 to December 2024, there's been on average one near miss per month and more than 15,000 planes getting alerts of helicopters being too close. Donna Water, Washington.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street ended moderately lower after careening from a small gain to as much as 10% below its recent record. The whipsaw trading followed the latest escalation in President Donald Trump's trade war. The S&P 500 fell 0.8% Tuesday. The benchmark index had been down as much as 1.5%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 478 points. It's about 1.1%. The Nasdaq Composite held up better, slipping just 0.2%. Trump said he would double his planned tariffs on steel and aluminum from Canada, a retaliation that prompted the provincial government of Ontario to back down on its planned surcharges on electric power sold to the U.S. Seth Sutel, New York.
U.S. job openings rose at the start of the year, another sign the job market was solid when President Trump returned to the White House. The Labor Department reported Tuesday U.S. employers posted 7.7 million vacancies in January, up from 7.5 million. But the outlook for the labor market is murky, as Trump wages a trade war with foreign countries, purges federal workers, and threatens to deport millions of immigrants. Layoffs fell slightly in January, and the number of Americans quitting their jobs rose. Openings are down from 8.5 million in January of last year. I'm Julie Walker.
Mourners in Houston are paying tribute to the late U.S. Representative Sylvester Turner of Texas. He's lying in state at City Hall. It's part of a week of public events to honor the Democratic lawmaker and former mayor.
As we stand on the steps of city government, it's symbolic that I'm speaking for Houstonians across our great city.
That's current Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
Our diversity. Sylvester knew each and every community, and he treated everyone with equality and inclusion.
Turner died at the age of 70 earlier this month. He was just weeks into his first term in the House, and he died only hours after attending President Donald Trump's address to Congress in Washington. His family said he died at his home following health complications. Turner is also scheduled to lie in state at the Texas Capitol beginning later this week. His funeral is scheduled for Saturday in Houston. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Four people are facing charges in suburban Detroit for the death of a five-year-old boy who was being treated in an oxygen chamber. Two of the four people charged in the January 31st death of five-year-old Thomas Cooper are charged with second-degree murder. One is founder and chief executive of the Oxford Center in Troy, Tamala Peterson. Michigan's attorney general says the boy was incinerated in seconds inside a pressurized hyperbaric chamber that exploded after being ignited by a single spark. The boy's mother sustained injuries to her arms while trying to save her child. Hyperbaric therapy delivers pure oxygen to a person inside a chamber. The attorney for one defendant says the second-degree murder charge comes as a total shock to him and his client. I'm Donna Water.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Tyrese Halliburton made a fadeaway three-pointer while being fouled and completed the four-point play with 3.4 seconds left, and the Pacers stunned Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Bucks won 115-114.
We can't control makes, can't control misses. We can control effort, though, and we feel like we just had to do a better job of just matching energy and playing hard for 48 minutes.
The NBA leading Cavaliers beat the Nets 109-104 for their second 15-game winning streak of the season. Off the court, Junior Bridgman, a basketball standout for Louisville and Milwaukee, and a Bucks minority owner, died Tuesday at age 71. NFL, the Bills agreed on a one-year $12.6 million contract with five-time Pro Bowl pass rusher Joey Bosa. Former Giants quarterback Daniel Jones has agreed to a one-year $14 million contract with the Colts, according to an AP source. The source said Jones's deal is worth up to $17.7 million. The number six overall pick in 2019 by the Giants, Jones will get a chance to compete with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. The Eagles are trading safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the Texans for guard Kenyon Green and a swap of draft picks, and the Vikings agreed to terms with former Commanders two-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jonathan Allen. Tiger Woods is out with another injury. Woods says he ruptured his left Achilles tendon and had surgery Tuesday morning. He did not offer many details. Woods says he was ramping up his practice when he felt a pain in his left Achilles. He says it was determined to be a ruptured tendon. Woods says he had minimally invasive surgery. Those involve a smaller incision and lead to a shorter recovery time. The injury is likely to keep him out of the Masters in April and perhaps even more major championships this year. Red Sox right-hander Brian Bayo won't be ready for the start of the season. Manager Alex Cora updated the media on Bayo's status on Tuesday. Bayo, the opening day starter last season, has been dealing with soreness in his shoulder this spring. The Red Sox have been taking a cautious approach with him. The 25-year-old was 14-8 with a 4.49 ERA and 153 strikeouts last season. He agreed to a $55 million six-year contract last March. In addition, the first appearance this spring of infielder Rafael Devers has been rescheduled to Saturday. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
The vessel's owner has confirmed the 59-year-old man is a Russian who led a mixed crew of Russians and Filipinos. He was arrested on Tuesday on suspicion of manslaughter by gross negligence. He hasn't been charged yet. The cargo ship, the Solong, collided on Monday with a tanker transporting jet fuel for the US military in the North Sea off eastern England. It set both vessels ablaze. One sailor from the Solong was presumed dead in the collision. Port inspection documents show the vessel failed steering-related safety checks in Dublin, Ireland in July, with the vessel's emergency steering position communications compass reading unreadable. Inspectors found a total of 10 deficiencies in all. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The European Union wants to set up return hubs in third countries to send rejected asylum seekers. In a new migration proposal unveiled Tuesday, the EU also wants to step up deportations. The EU Commission says only about 20% of people with a return order are effectively removed from EU territory. The proposal would set a standard for all 27 EU member countries and allow national authorities from one country to enforce the deportation order issued by another. But for the proposal to work, a deportee's country of origin would have to agree to readmit its citizen. I'm Donna Water.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.